Grab your lunch, turn up the volume, and get ready for 3 hours of sports conversation surrounding the hottest sports topics and pop culture events of the day. It's the new Sports 180. To be a part of today's show and share your thoughts, call in to 656-9900, 656-9900, or via Twitter using @Sports180. Now, with Heather Harrington, here is Josh Ward.
Welcome into Sports 180 today. Bit of a sad note as Johnny Majors, biggest story of the day, Coach Majors passing away earlier this morning. We're going to take your phone calls, your reflections today at 656-9900. Let me introduce everybody. I'm Heather Harrington along with Vince Ferrara this week. Sam Foreman doing a great job pushing all the right buttons for us. And Coach Majors, Vince, and I know we'll talk about it all show long, but somebody that I had the privilege of interviewing on several occasions, working with many, many times, and always a lively and feisty gentleman, and just so fun to talk to. A memory like a steel trap. He could remember so many events in such great detail. It was always so impressive to me, and just really feel for his family that is left behind after his passing at 85 years old today.
Yeah, absolutely. You hit on those key points. You feel for his family, so many great friends, and his memory was, I've obviously not, I hadn't known him as long as many others in this market, but I did have the fortune to be able to do some shows with him as you did. And the memory of telling stories, the detail of the memory was amazing. He loved to hold court as well. When we did a lot of remotes on Sports Talk during the commercial breaks, man, he was the star, and everybody loved to interact, take photos, and he wouldn't turn anybody down. He would go out of his way for people, and he just really loved and appreciated the fans. He was all about team. He was distinguished and part of really the first family of Tennessee football with the Majors family. Just you know, certainly sad for him, for the family, but just so many great memories, funny times with Coach Majors as well, and we'll share some of those today, because he was so positive and funny and just carried himself so great that there's a lot of neat stories to reflect on.
Yeah, definitely a lot to reflect on. I encourage everybody to get out their phones or their web browsers, go to YouTube.com, type in Johnny Majors, enjoy, do the deep dive. There's some great stuff. Yeah. We're going to play some different audio for people today, and maybe we can get Jimmy Himes. You know, they say imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Jimmy does an amazing Johnny Majors impersonation. We're going to have Jimmy on coming up at 12:30 to talk about Coach Majors. But he always nailed his voice, and just incredible in that attack, 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 and just everything. So fantastic. So we're going to talk to a lot of people today. But first, let's go ahead and take a look around the sports world.
The biggest news, the main stories, the headlines that have everyone talking. It's time to take a look around the sports world.
So we just got started right there, but sad news as the family confirmed earlier today that Johnny Majors had passed away at the age of 85. He had actually just turned 85, Vince. I was talking with Jimmy this morning, and back on May 21st was his 85th birthday. So Tennessee losing an absolute legend, not only as a coach, also as a player. And like I said, we're going to relive a lot of the Johnny Majors history here today and throughout the rest of the week, I imagine, on all of the shows on the Sports Animal.
Yeah, and we'll talk to Jimmy, as you mentioned, have some stories. But if you want to read the statement issued by the Majors family, Jimmy is the one that has it. You can go to 991thesportsanimal.com and Jimmy's blog, and you can read that statement from the family. And you know, Marilyn Majors, wife of 61 years, said, "It's with a sad heart that we make this announcement. John passed away this morning. He spent his last hours doing something he dearly loved, looking out over the cherished Tennessee River. So just a great perspective from Jimmy, from the family, to share some of the neat things about it, all his accomplishments at Tennessee. There's obviously a lot there.
Yeah, absolutely. The NFL yesterday has instructed their teams of two required adjustments for how training camps are going to operate in an effort to minimize risks of the spread of the coronavirus whenever players and coaches return to work. That's going to be later on next month. Roger Goodell put out a memo to all 32 teams, and they've all agreed that clubs should hold training camp at team facilities rather than going to an off-site location. And that's usually customary for most franchises. Most everybody does training camp somewhere else. So
10 don't. So that, yeah. And it's actually been a number that's shrunk through the years, but it's down to 10. And the team that probably is impacted the most by it is the Raiders, because they're still putting their stuff together, still moving in, you know.
Yeah.
But they said they'll be ready to go, so.
I would imagine SoFi Stadium, too, in L.A., correct? That, I mean, if they're having to share it with both teams.
Yeah.
If they're actually getting stadium practice.
Right. Maybe their practice facility may be set up, quicker or sooner than the stadium itself. But, it seems like the Raiders are the one that it impacts the most.
There is a caveat. They did make an exception because of some states still being under a lockdown quarantine format. For the local law enforcement, the only exception would be in those cases in which teams cannot go to their facility. They would be able to have their camps somewhere else. Commissioner Goodell said, "We believe that each of these steps will enhance our ability to protect the health and safety of players and football staffs and are consistent with a sound approach to risk management in the current environment." So a little bit of a different look for some NFL teams. But it's at least good that they are looking to get back to work, Vince, as we cling to hope for the 2020 season.
Yeah, I think so. It's interesting that they're going with the 22 teams and, for the NBA and, just anything we can do to get the NFL back,
yep.
Get all these major sports back would be awesome.
Yeah, Adrian Wojnarowski, he tweeted out just a few minutes ago, story is up at ESPN.com. Woj is in the know. The NBA is inviting 22 teams to Orlando, 13 Western Conference, 9 Eastern Conference. They will play 8 regular season games per team, and that is going to be for seeding in the playoffs. It'll be play-in for the 8 seeds. They are looking to start on July 31st and run all the way through October 12th, and it should be ratified tomorrow. It does have to undergo a vote.
You know, it's interesting that they're doing it without all the teams in there, but it has a lot to do with the TV contracts. Apparently, if they're able to get to a certain number of regular season games, they can get the full TV deal, and we're talking about several hundred million dollars. So this is why they're making sure to get those regular season games in and do it in that way. And also, you're talking about they're going to go back in from July 31st to October 12th is when the finals would end, potentially the latest.
Yeah.
You're talking about 2.5 months in Orlando for teams that make it to the finals. And that's ambitious to have them in that bubble for that period of time. That's quite a while.
It's a really nice bubble there, Vince. It's 22,000 square feet resort with restaurants, golf. It's not a bad bubble. And their families can go too.
That's true. That is a positive. And then also there's a quick turnaround as well, because you'd have the draft, you'd have free agency shortly after that, and then training camps, because they're looking to start the following season around Christmas. And maybe that calendar will stick moving forward after that. I think it should. I think the NBA season should start in December once football slows down a little bit. But it'll be a quick turnaround after that if they do finish it out.
We'll talk about that more later on. Some sports media news. I'll tell you this. Layoffs are going on all around the country. And if you're in a contract dispute right now, it's going to be really hard on a lot of folks. But this was very surprising to me. Josina Anderson no longer with ESPN. No reps have confirmed that on ESPN's side. But Andrew Marchand of the New York Post had that story yesterday, as well as Jason Whitlock could not come to a contract agreement with FS1, so he is now out at FS1. And I saw a lot of people with some different media companies around making big announcements, a lot tied to Sports Illustrated yesterday, that they ended up taking buyouts. It's just really a tough time right now in sports media.
Well, when you're on the national, on a national platform like that regularly, and you feel like you have a big number as your value, you're going to, and you think you can branch out and do your own thing. One, you're not going to get the money you're looking for. Two, then you feel like you have that leverage. And I think that's what it sounds like Jason Whitlock's going to want to do, is kind of do his own thing. And Bill Simmons, Joe Rogan with Spotify, something like that. So, you know, good luck to him. But it's hard to get the money you think you have the value of with, for some of those national guys right now.
Yeah, I know Bill Simmons, he originally teaming up with HBO after leaving ESPN. They were investors in The Ringer and then selling The Ringer for $250 million to Spotify earlier this year. That was pretty sweet deal. two years in the making. I mean, it's a grind, and he does an amazing job, but wow. That was a big check. And Major League Soccer and the players, they've agreed to a new CBA. They're going to avoid a lockout. And I think that they were able to work out a deal to where they're not talking about any sort of future agreements until at least 2025.
Yeah, I think this deal is expected to be ratified. I'm not sure, unless they did that just a little while ago this morning.
They did it. Yes, it is done. Yes, it has been ratified. Yep.
Okay, well, that's good, because they were talking about the owners locking out the players, which, like Major League Baseball, would have been a really bad move. So glad they figured it out. They're looking at, like, a tournament, a summer tournament, over, like, a six-week period max. But they may even add some games after that. I think MLS can really get a jump on some of these other sports if they get out there and get some new eyes on the sport. So glad they worked that out.
Yeah, it's just like NASCAR. I mean, especially if you're lower on the niche scale, because everything's niche compared to college football in the NFL. But if you're lower on that scale and you need more eyeballs, if you can come back safely sooner rather than later, it's only going to be good for you.
And as fun as the World Cup is, if they can put together a tournament, that's going to be different, exciting, high stakes every time they're playing. I think they'll put their best foot forward, no pun intended, to soccer if they do a tournament like that.
Coming up today, we've got several guests lined up. They are fluid to change. We're working on a couple of people also behind the scenes. Jimmy Himes is going to join us at 12:30 to talk about Tennessee legend Coach Johnny Majors passing away earlier today. ESPN's Chris Lowe also set to join us. We'll talk to Bill Bender from the Sporting News about some of the current projections right now for the Vols for the 2020 season, and get his comments on Coach Majors as well. And then Devin Driscoll of D1 Sports, he's going to join us coming up at 2, because he has done some interesting work during the coronavirus. And so we're going to talk to him about keeping people in shape. And then also we'll talk to our regular guest, Braden Gall, on at 2:30. So a lot in store today, talking Johnny Majors. You're going to hear a lot of audio and a lot of people talking and remembering Coach Majors as not only one of the Mount Rushmore coaches of the University of Tennessee, also up there as a player as well. 656-9900, *990 is a free call for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. We'll have more on Johnny Majors coming up next on the Sports Animal.
Illinois. Tighten your caps. A new era of Sports 180 is here. Now back to the show with Josh and Heather.
Right at 87,000, Jan Neyland Stadium to see the first ever visit of Notre Dame to Tennessee. And the enthusiasm of the crowd carried over to the enthusiasm of the team, and still to the enthusiasm of its coach, as Tennessee wins over Notre Dame 40-18.
John, you're exactly right. I think we ought to have some fun here tonight. I thought you were much too serious last week, and I didn't appreciate it at all. This is my Irish shillelagh, and unless you have more fun tonight than you had last weekend, I don't want to be a part of your program anymore.
That wasn't in the script at all. That wasn't in the script. Where, how did you get that in here?
Coach Avezzano and I used that against with our offensive line this week. We really didn't, because that's serious business, but we threatened it if they hadn't done the job. And I'm very pleased in that. And as modest as I am going to say, for the support of my shillelagh, and I think that was one of the greatest victories in Tennessee history.
Tennessee defeating Notre Dame under Coach Majors. And what was that thing called, Vince? A shillelagh?
Yeah. Boy, what a character. He and his, when he was on stage doing interviews, radio, TV, anything, it really shined through his personality and his love for his craft in football. So many last through the years with hearing Coach Majors in the interview. That was awesome with the shillelagh there for sure.
And we were talking about it earlier. Coach Majors, just the ultimate showman. You know, he just had so much personality. I can imagine what he was like as a player at Tennessee. And then, you know, during the, you think of some of the big moments of his career, leading the Vols, whether it's 82 Alabama, 85 Sugar Bowl, the SEC championship games, the three different ones that he won that Notre Dame win. I mean, there are just some amazing moments for Coach Majors while he was here at Tennessee. And I love the outpouring of old photos that you can find that's in everybody's timelines today. So that has really been fun to scroll Twitter and to scroll Facebook to see all of the old pictures, including what Vol Football and the University of Tennessee have put out.
No question, as a player and as a coach as well, back in the day where they had those huge earmuff headphones and, you know, he had the dress shirt and was so passionate and intense on the sidelines, just always had a look. It was always distinguished and had that look, really cared about how he presented himself, because whoever it was, whether it was at Pitt or whether it was at Iowa State, he recognized that he wasn't just representing himself, he was representing his family and he was representing his school as well. He was always very aware of that.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And it is weird, and I can see where the conspiracy theorists like to put on their tinfoil hats, but the fact that two of the biggest Heisman travesties in voting history have gone against the Vols is really, I mean, I now understand why people do think that there's like a jinx or a bias or something, because the year that Johnny Majors missed out on the Heisman Trophy as a player after Robert Nealon called him the greatest single wing tailback in Tennessee history, that he lost out to Paul Hornung's Notre Dame team, who was what, like 2-7 or something. I mean, their record was just absolutely terrible. And then you also have Peyton Manning missing out on the Heisman Trophy to Charles Woodson. But I can see why people are still very mad at the Heisman Trust, because that's two Heisman trophies that Tennessee should be able to tout in their walk of fame.
I understand the frustration. Those were also separated by quite a bit of time, so I don't know how you same people working on it. Yeah.
Hey, you know there's got to be still some of the same voters.
Yeah, that's not necessarily a good thing.
Yeah. So we're going to talk to Jimmy Himes coming up in just a few moments. And I know, and shout out to Josh. He's on his way to a nice little vacation with his family. He was really upset today to not be able to be on the show. He grew up a huge Johnny Majors fan. People can follow him on Twitter. He had some comments at Josh J. Ward on Twitter. And so you just follow that. And that's got to be hard, too, because he grew up. You know, I came to love Johnny Majors after moving here as an 18-year-old and getting to learn more about Tennessee's history, meeting Haywood Harris and Gus Manning, and hearing the stories that they would tell about not only General Nealon, but about Johnny Majors, and then getting to work with Johnny Majors early on in my career. It's just, man, what a one-of-a-kind guy, and just such a unique personality.
Well, for us that had those experiences with him after moving here and our connection and love for him, you can imagine those that have been a fan or have been around him for a longer period of time prior to that. And he just has such an incredible history with the University of Tennessee and accomplished so much, player, coach, ambassador for many years. It's just, you know, it's tough, but there are just so many experiences that everyone's getting a chance to share. So I think there'll be some neat stories that will come out of today in this week, because we're going to continue to honor and pay tribute to Coach Majors for all that he accomplished, because it's hard to get it in just into a short period of time.
656-9900 star 990 is a free call for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your recollections on Coach Johnny Majors, a true Tennessee legend passing away earlier today at the age of 85. Jimmy Himes from Sports Talk is going to join us next right here on Sports 180 on the Sports Animal.
This is VFL Josh Malone, and we're counting it down. It is just
94 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go on!
Star 990 is a free call for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. Remembering the life of Coach Johnny Majors, a true Tennessee legend growing up in the state of Tennessee. I just watched an awesome video. I put it on my Facebook page, facebook.com/Heather Harrington. This was back, the Vol Network did this a couple of years ago, and it was all about Johnny Majors coming to the University of Tennessee for the first time in 1952. He talked about taking the bus into town and where it dropped him off at this local drugstore, and somebody coming to pick him up and take him to meet General Neyland. And it's just an incredible watch. It's about 3.5 minutes long, just narrated by Johnny himself. It's just absolutely fantastic. So I think everybody is enjoying you know, the resources that we have because of the digital age. We're able to relive so many moments, whether it's through video or just audio sound and hearing Johnny's voice. And I know he was longtime guest on Sports Talk with John and Jimmy, and they always enjoyed talking to Coach Majors. But we've gotten a little bit of feedback already on Facebook. You know, Cody, he reaches out, he says Johnny was a true Vol Mount Rushmore face, loved Coach Majors, the miracle at South Bend, and some of those post-game speeches, and you've got other people reaching out, but it truly was, and this is something that we're going to talk to Jimmy Himes about coming up in just a few minutes, but it's a bygone era. I don't think, revere coaches like we used to, when you didn't have as much access to them, and when we just didn't have as much access to other things. You know, I mean, if you wanted to find out what had happened, you either had to turn on the radio after a game or read it in the newspaper the next day, you know. And so just it just feels like it's getting further and further away from our minds about how we used to consume football and enjoy listening to coaches and things like that. It just feeling very sentimental.
I think so. I think you're right. The access does have a lot to do with it. And, you know, just like whatever you enjoyed as a kid, whether it was listening to John Ward on the call of Tennessee Athletics, or, you know, for baseball fans watching This Week in Baseball on the weekends, or whatever it was that you really loved, those are things that you built an anticipation for, and you cherish those moments because they weren't around very often. So there was that greater appreciation. Now, with on demand, you can pull anything up anytime you want, and then you can move on to something else to distract you and take you away from it as well. So I think that has a lot to do with it. And, you know, it probably will not be the same moving forward with just more and more options to take people's attention away.
Yeah, and you bring up John Ward's name, and you think about just some of the other Tennessee legends, whether it's Haywood Harris, who I also had the privilege of knowing for a while he was still with us, and then, of course, General Neyland. I mean, it's just, again, there's so much nostalgia tied up in all of those names, and the fact that Gus Manning is still alive and with us, it makes you want to go give him just a big old hug, you know, because, gosh, you know, when that day comes too, it's just going to be so sad, because a little piece of history is then gone, and if we're not teaching our kids about that history, you know, then it can be forgotten. So that's why it's so important to, you know, learn about these programs and how they came to fruition to how we know them today. I saw a lot of Vols, like even Todd Kelly Jr., sending out a message on Twitter, like, Coach Major's paving the way for the standard of University of Tennessee football so that my dad could come in and then I could come in after him. You know, I mean, it's just really incredible to think about the impact of not only how many lives were influenced by Johnny Majors, by him being their coach, but also the ripple effect of just Tennessee history all through the road.
All of the lives impacted, and Johnny Majors talked to those players, his players, about being men and being important parts of society, in addition to the football aspect of it as well. So there's going to be that incredible connection that goes beyond, and then you tell the stories and pass them down as well. So I'm glad that there's young players that still have that appreciation. Not surprising that a kid as smart and aware as Todd Kelly Jr. would have that historical appreciation for the University of Tennessee.
Also, what has changed, and this is something that Josh and I talk about a lot, especially when we circle the conversation around recruiting, it's not as big of a deal as it used to be to go to your in-state school. I think especially now with how mobile our society is and how easy it is to fly, this is all, you know, pre-coronavirus, but how easy it is to fly around the country and get different places very efficiently, more and more kids want to go out of state. You know, they kind of want to get away from home and broaden their horizons. And I mean, I was surprised when we looked up Georgia's recruiting over the past couple of years and the small number of the highest caliber athletes that they sign, and, you know, Tennessee, how many guys that they sign. But like Johnny Majors, that era, you wanted, if you grew up in Tennessee, that was the one place that you wanted to go. I mean, that was number one on your list. And so that, again, shows you just the progression of how much things have changed over the last 50 plus years.
I think so. And it's, you know, the era is different, but Tennessee does have, I think, a pretty unique connection to its history. I think this fan base, and obviously a lot of them, you know, a number of fan bases around the country do, but I think Tennessee is pretty special in not forgetting their historical, their iconic figures.
They're great. Yeah.
So I think it's a wonderful thing about the university and this fan base, is there's always that connection and that bond to the history.
Yeah, but don't you agree that, like, more kids now, they don't dream of going to their in-state school?
No, it's not. I think that even prior to today, it's been something that has developed in, you know, over a number of years. You're starting to see more and more people move into the state, and they don't always have the local, you know, connection. So especially in the mid-state, that used to be an area where tons of kids would dream of playing for the University of Tennessee. Now it's a little bit more scattered, the western part of the state as well. So I think the way time has passed, there isn't that that's my school. There's some, but definitely not to the level it used to be.
656-9900, *990 is a free call for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. We'll try to catch up with Jimmy Himes today. I know he is working vigorously on his show. We'll have the face-off as well coming up. This is Sports 180. We're taking your phone calls, reflecting on the life of Johnny Majors on The Sports Animal.
If it weren't for sports,
we'd be forced to play that crap other stations play.
Anybody need that?
Nobody.
99.1, the sports animal.
Welcome back to Sports 180. Heather Harrington along with Vince Ferrara. Sam Foreman back at the Budweiser Studios. Want to go to the Stanley Fence and Gates hotline and bring on a very special guest, longtime host of Sports Talk, the one and only Jimmy Himes. Good afternoon, Jimmy.
Hi, Heather. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm so glad to actually talk to you instead of just text, because we've been texting about Lance Armstrong. We've been texting about golf. And so now I'm glad to actually talk to you.
So true, yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Jimmy, some sad news coming out earlier today, and I know you reached out to the family, and you had a statement that they put out through you, just remembering the life of Johnny Majors. And I know that Coach Majors had been in some down health over the past little bit, but just what were kind of your thoughts today receiving that news and trying to put everything together to then be able to put out a statement?
Well, it hit me pretty hard. We had gotten pretty close, and it was very sad. The last conversation I had with him, I called him on May the 21st. I didn't even know it was his birthday, and he told me it was his birthday. We had a great conversation about a variety of things, and then he did tell me this. He said, hey, when this virus clears up, we're going to go have lunch, and don't you forget to call me, but we're going to line this lunch up. And I was looking forward to that. I thought back to all the different times I'd been with Coach Majors. We had an opportunity a couple times to play in golf tournaments together or golf events. I thought about the time he called me a muckraker because he thought I was digging too deep into the program. And he was okay with calling me that. He didn't mind that. I didn't either. But we had a very open relationship, and if there was something that came up, I could always go to him and talk to him. And primarily when he was coaching, and maybe a player got in trouble or whatever, and I'd call and say, hey, I heard this about this guy got arrested or whatever. And he'd say, hey, I don't know about it. And he would call me back and say, yeah, you're right. Or he would write on the spot and say, yeah, that's true. The point is, he understood the media. He understood you had a job to do. And even though at times you had to report on things that weren't pleasant, he never held it against you. He knew that was your job. I can't say that about all coaches. And he goes down, in my book, as one of the all-time favorites I've ever covered as a coach because of the way he dealt with the media. And the other thing is, he was well-rounded. He liked to read. He liked to travel. He liked history. He liked to go to the symphony. And he liked to get, as he said, cultured. But and one funny thing he told me the last time I talked to him, when he told me he was 85, he said, you know, I never thought I was going to live to be 60. I thought, well, I'm glad you made it to 85, but because he was just a great person, a great personality, had a lot of pizzazz, which was one of his favorite words. He had a lot of different sayings. I just really thoroughly enjoyed being around him and covering him when I got here when he was a coach. My years with him were 85 to 92.
Jimmy, one of the things that Heather and I were talking about right at the beginning that stands out about Coach Majors is his memory and the details that he could recall and did so many times on your show. Talk about that aspect that was just so remarkable.
It was remarkable. And I, he could remember a particular play, what happened, what the score was, different players that he coached against, the different things that happened during the course of his career, not only as a coach but as a player. And I think that speaks well to his attention to detail. And I think that's what made him a great coach, is that he did pay attention to detail. Whether it was a lineman taking the wrong step or a receiver running the wrong route, he was paying attention and wanted to make sure they did it the right way. I think that made him a great teacher, and I think that's another reason so many coaches that coached under him went on to be head coaches elsewhere because of his ability to teach. But I think that was a strong suit of his, and I think the fact that he played both ways allowed him to have a great understanding of the offense and defense and all the different positions that you play. I think that benefited him as well.
you talked about all the coaches under his coaching tree that went on to be head coaches either in college or the NFL. One thing that I had always heard about Coach Majors is he was very demanding. He wasn't the easiest coach to work for, but I think that is also a testament to how much he would push people and see their potential. And if you couldn't help him, you also had to get out of the way. And I think that having that trust with the people you're working with is something that was very special about Johnny Majors.
Well, it was. And just to be completely honest with you, I thought there were times he was a little bit too harsh on his assistants. And so I brought that up to him one time. And he said, I will not apologize for demanding excellence from my assistant coaches. I'm not apologizing for that. But he did tell me this. He said, you know what? He said, there were a couple of coaches I was a little bit too harsh on, and for that I'm sorry. But he said, I will demand excellence from my coaches. And I think that while some of the coaches that coached under him at the time, maybe they didn't like him so much, the same for the players. But I think once they left the program, they looked back and they thought, boy, I learned some valuable lessons from Johnny Majors.
Jimmy, you've seen him in a lot of different settings. Talk about what Coach Majors was like in your experiences with fans coming up to him and maybe off of the football field, what he was like in interacting with other people.
He was wonderful at interacting with other people. He did our show for about 4 years or so in a row where he was a weekly guest during football season. We would go to a remote, and then all these people would come by and want autographs with him. He always took the time to sign autographs. There was one time we were at one location, and he was done. And he must have stayed 30 or 40 minutes signing autographs and saying hello to fans. I thought that was very impressive. He didn't have to do that, but he did. And he understood that role. And look, certainly he liked to be liked. I think we all do. But he appreciated the fact that people came up and wanted his autograph. And I think one time he told me, you know what, that's better than the alternative. It's better than them not wanting my autograph. So he was great about that. A very good storyteller, very funny, and just a great personality. And I'm going to miss him. I know a lot of people in the Vol Nation are going to miss him. But he was wonderful in dealing with fans and people in public. I thought he was great. And I'm going to tell you, in all the years I've been doing this, I can't think of many coaches that I could sit there and say that I enjoyed covering them more than John Majors.
That's amazing. We're talking to Jimmy Himes, longtime writer for the Knoxville News Sentinel, and then now he's been with Sports Animal. We won't tell everybody how long because we don't want to give your age away, Jimmy, but you really did get to report on such a special era, and that's what Johnny Majors was a part of. I mean, when you think of Johnny Majors, when you think of John Ward, of Haywood Harris, of Gus Manning, I mean, we're getting further and further away from that. How important is it to keep educating the younger kids on these people that have meant so much to so many people?
I think it's very important. You know, you sit back and you think of General Nealon, right? Well, you still have the Nealon maxims. So that allows people to remember what General Nealon was about. With Majors and with Haywood Harris and Gus Manning and that group, I mean, I felt very fortunate, and I put Bud Ford in there as well. I felt very fortunate to get to know them and get to be around them and to cover Tennessee during that era. I thought it was fantastic. And look, I didn't know much about a lot of the traditions coming from Louisiana when I got here in 1985, but I learned them in a hurry. And the great storytelling and the characters that were at Tennessee, I mean, when you got Gus Manning and Haywood Harris together, my goodness, you couldn't help but laugh because they had so many stories and where they pick on each other. But there were some great stories with John Majors and just a lot of fun to be around and certainly a legend with Tennessee. But I'll tell you a quick Gus Manning story about Majors if you got a second.
Absolutely.
So John Majors finished as runner-up for the Heisman Trophy in 1956 to the only person to ever win it with a losing record, Paul Hornung. So every now and then, Majors would start gigging Gus Manning about it. So he told Gus, he said, you know, every time you go to the Kentucky Derby, you buy a mint julep for Paul Hornung. You like Paul Hornung. He said, I can't believe you couldn't help me win the Heisman Trophy over a guy with a losing record. And Gus said, well, I had to work like hell to get you second place. And Major's like, what? But they were just such great characters and so much fun to be around.
That is an awesome story. And Jimmy, what do you think? I know that you could pick maybe a SEC championship game, Notre Dame wins versus Alabama. But what is the most memorable win for you covering Johnny Majors of his career?
The first year I covered Tennessee, when they went down to New Orleans in the Superdome, and they're playing a Miami team. They were a bunch of bad dudes now. They were number two in the country. And it wasn't whether or not they beat Tennessee, it was by how much. And they were in position to win the national championship because it may have been Penn State or somebody ahead of them had lost the bowl game the night before. So they're talking about how bad they're going to beat Tennessee. And Tennessee goes out there and beats them 35-7. It was a butt-whooping. And the thing that also impressed me is, now that's the first SEC title for Tennessee in 16 years, so the fans were starved to have that success. And I'm telling you, there must have been 60 to 65,000 Tennessee fans in the Superdome. You couldn't hardly find a Miami fan. The rest of the tickets were by New Orleans sponsors, people that were at the game from New Orleans. It was unbelievable how Tennessee just completely took over the Dome, the French Quarter, anywhere you look for beignets, they were out there eating them. It was incredible to see the support Tennessee had. There really hadn't been a moment that's topped it. I know the national championship was wonderful, but to see that fan base follow that team and to see them beat Miami like that, that's a lasting memory for me. That was one of the most enjoyable seasons I have ever had covering any sport.
That's awesome. Hey, Jimmy, thanks. I know you're super busy today, and I know you guys are going to put together an amazing show to commemorate Coach Majors. So thanks for taking the time out to join us this afternoon.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
All right.
You guys take care.
That's Jimmy Himes. You can hear him and John Wilkerson coming up on Sports Talk today at 3 o'clock. Appreciate his insight. Another longtime writer, currently for ESPN.com, is going to join us coming up. Chris Lowe remembers Johnny Majors after the top of the hour. That's coming up next on Sports 180 on the Sports Animal.